information, but it can't happen unless you do it. And you know that if you've been listening to this, this is how we pay the bills, is we just ask for the money from our listeners rather than having it the money supplied to us by some corporation so that we can just give their point of view.
No
we
checks from the Koch brothers for us.
Yeah, we giving your point of view. We're giving all the news of people that do not have the media on their sides. 877-500-5266 with it, you know, and that's so you need to do it. Let's go to the news.
Margaret Hamburg, the head of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, has decided to step down at the end of March after 6 years on the job. She became the 21st commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration in May of 2009. During her time in office, the FDA has been sued a number of times by consumer groups for failing to regulate cancer-causing agents in plastic and food additives. According to the New York Times, Hamburg said that she is very proud of her role in modernizing how the agency regulated the safety of food and drugs coming from other countries. There was no explanation as to why she's leaving the post now, halfway through President Obama's second term in office. But she told the New York Times that she thinks her job is done and that she never expected to be there for so long. The Wall Street Journal reports that Dr. Robert Califf will be the likely replacement for Hamburg. He was recently named the agency's Deputy Commissioner for Medical Products and Tobacco. Califf was formerly a professor of cardiology at Duke University, where he headed the nation's largest academic clinical research organization.
15 years ago, the Center for Disease Control declared that measles had been eliminated within the United States. But last month, 102 cases of the virus were reported following an outbreak at Disneyland in Anaheim, California. So far in the year 2015, 14 states have confirmed measles cases. Last year, there were 23 outbreaks within the United States, resulting in 644 confirmed incidences. The resurgence of the preventable virus within the U.S. has sparked debate between politicians and people opposed to vaccination. Two potential Republican presidential candidates have been criticized for their comments regarding the vaccination debate. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, who is also an ophthalmologist, claimed to have witnessed the occurrence of profound mental disorders in children who received vaccines. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie was also asked about vaccination while abroad in England and offered his support for a parent's right to choose. Christie mentioned his alliance with parents of children with autism, connecting his opinion to a widely publicized myth that vaccinations can cause autism. Legislative representatives in California are now considering vaccination reform that would end the personal opt-out for parents choosing not to vaccinate.
Tensions remain high in Rapid City, South Dakota, after Native students attending a hockey game were assaulted. On January 24th, 57 students from the Oglala Lakota tribe attended a hockey game in Rapid City. During the last period of the game, two assailants from the VIP section, located above the students, began throwing beer and a frisbee while yelling racial epithets. The students' escort, Justin Poorbear, eventually had to lead the students out of the game in order to avoid a confrontation. At least three other incidents against Native Americans have been reported in Rapid City since the assault at the hockey game. On February 1st, two groups of Native Americans were harassed and doused with beer at a rodeo. The next day, Raven Waln of the Oglala Lakota was reportedly pulled over by Rapid City police and physically assaulted for driving without a license and insurance. The police say the officer's actions were quote-unquote justified and appropriate. Over the weekend, the Rapid City Journal fanned racial tensions with an article about the hockey game assault, which was titled, "Did Native Students Stand for National Anthem?" The journal has since apologized for the headline, stating there is no justification for racist behavior. The Rapid City Police Department still has not decided whether or not to file criminal charges in the hockey game assault.
The lead investigator into the death of Argentine federal prosecutor Alberto Nisman announced yesterday that a draft arrest warrant for President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner was found in Nisman's trash. Niesman was found dead in his apartment in January with a single bullet wound to the head and a .22 caliber handgun next to his body. It was just hours before he was scheduled to appear before the Argentine Congress in order to detail his allegations that Kirchner had covered up Iranian involvement in the 1994 bombing of a Jewish community center in Buenos Aires. The bombing killed 85 people and was the worst such incident in Argentina's history. Niesman had been building a case against Kirchner and members of the cabinet claiming that the president agreed to shield the Iranian suspects in the bombing in exchange for lucrative trade deals with Iran. The deals included shipments of Argentine grain in exchange for much-needed Iranian oil. The discarded arrest warrant was dismissed as, quote, garbage by the administration, with Cabinet Chief Jorge Capitanich going so far as to rip the newspaper article on the warrant to shreds at a press conference, calling it a lie produced by the opposition. Indeed, the warrant, as well as others demanding the arrest of high-ranking cabinet officials, was not included in the report Niesman filed with Congress 4 days before his death. Instead, Niesman called in his report for Kirchner and others to answer questions in court. Kirchner has denied any truth to Niesman's claims, even though she has admitted that she finds it very unlikely that he killed himself at such a critical moment. She said in a televised speech last week that she believes Niesman was fed false information by runaway elements of the Argentine intelligence service and announced plans to dismantle and reconstitute the entire Argentine Secretariat of Intelligence.
A 10-year-long nightly curfew in Baghdad is to be permanently lifted this Saturday by decree of Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi. The Prime Minister made this decision after meeting with Operations Command, after which he expressed confidence that the security situation in the city was under control enough for its citizens to freely move about at nighttime. The curfew's specific hours have shifted during the past decade, but most recently restricted movement between midnight and 5 a.m., The decree would ban all but light-range weapons within specific troublesome neighborhoods in an effort to limit insurgent activity. Additionally, the decree would restrict arrests made by non-official security forces. This is seen as an effort to curb the role of local militias, which have little accountability to the city government. The decision to lift the curfew was made despite the continued conflict between Iraqi security forces and ISIL in areas to the north and west of Baghdad.
The new Greek Prime Minister, Alexis Tsipras, and his finance minister, Yanis Varoufakis, continued a tour of Europe's major capitals today, part of an effort to renegotiate a bailout of Greece's economy by the European Union. The last leg of the trip was to Berlin, where Varoufakis squared off with his German counterpart, Wolfgang Schäuble. Greece is trying to rewrite its bailout plan with the European Central Bank. This agreement is set to expire at the end of February. Other EU countries are tied to Greece's ailing economy due to their use of the EU's common currency, known as the euro. Germany, which is Europe's strongest economy, wants to continue with a similar bailout plan, which involves harsh austerity measures that have caused what Tsipras calls a, quote, humanitarian crisis in Greece. Tsipras and his hard-left Syriza party came to power less than 2 weeks ago on promises to reverse many of the austerity measures. These reforms are impossible, however, without European cooperation on renegotiating the terms of Greece's debt. Only hours before Varoufakis and Schäuble met in Berlin, the central bank announced that it would no longer accept Greek bonds as collateral on loans. This means that Greece can only borrow money on an emergency basis with much higher interest rates. When Tsipras returned to Athens this afternoon, he described this move by the central bank as, quote, blackmail. He said that Greece would not take orders anymore. However, in Berlin, Schäuble refused to negotiate the bailout deal on Greece's terms, saying that he must respect the wishes of German voters as much as Greek voters. At the meeting, Varoufakis had compared Greece's situation to that of Germany before the rise of Hitler. He was referring to the far-right Golden Dawn Party, which now holds a one-third share of the Greek parliament and is poised to make a grab for power if Syriza can't follow through on its promises to the Greek people.
Yeah. You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Charlotte Galeen, Ethan Martin, Robin Ryan, Molly Campbell, Orca, and Christina Patrick. The producer is Sam Bowman. Our engineer is Matthew Olson. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Sarika Mehta.
And I'm Robert Barncord. Coming up tomorrow morning, Friday, on KBOO at 7 o'clock, it'll be Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Positively Revolting, the hosts, Ani and Lynn, will speak with Linda Tirado about hand-to-mouth living in bootstrap America, which is a personal look at the harsh reality of what it means to be one of the working poor in 21st century America. At 9 on APA Compass, actor and comedian Asif Mandvi talks about his memoir, No Man's Land, or No Land's Man. Liz Rogers features the powerful Sikh play, Kultar's Mime. And Dime Roberts has an angry APA minute. At 10 o'clock, it'll be Air Cascadia taking the day off. Instead, we'll hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 a.m. on the Radio Zine, host Michelle Schroeder-Fletcher speaks with investigative journalist and best-selling author Charles Lewis about his new book, 935 Lies, The Future of Truth, and the Decline of America's Moral Integrity. Coming up next is Rose City Native Radio, but first, we'll go to Rolf and Josh to talk about supporting people-powered community radio. This is the only 100% volunteer-hosted station in the state of Oregon.
So do it now. Call 877-500-5266 and help us out. We need your support.
We are not just a volunteer-supported radio station. We are a fully volunteer radio station. Everything about us is volunteer. The people who come on down here and report the news do so because they feel that it's important to do so. The people who come down here and produce these radio programs do so because it's their passion and they realize that this is an opportunity that they're not going to be getting elsewhere. And the people who do support this radio station through their donations do so on a volunteer basis, and they do so because they feel that it is important to support the work that we do here on KBOO FM. There are a lot of ways that you can support the radio station. You want to give out that number again, Ralph?
Yes, the best way right now, 877-500-5266. That's a toll-free number if you're outside of the Portland area. 877-500-5266. You can also donate online at kboo.fm. And we do need your support because this is community radio.
There are a lot of ways that you can make that donation happen. If you feel like making a one-time only donation, you can do so. You can call up. You can make that happen by just basically giving us your credit card number. It's safe. It's secure. You can come on down and you can give us a check or cash.
Or we can just send you a bill and you just mail in a check with it.
All sorts of ways.
All sorts of ways.
The best way to do that, though, the most secure way for us and for you is to basically make a monthly donation. You can increase your donation power to KBOO and reduce the impact to your finances all at the same time by giving just a little bit every month. You know, a lot of people like to figure out what their hourly salary is, and whatever that is, they give that every month. They have that taken out of their checking account or their savings account through their credit card or their debit card. Our auto deduction plan is amazingly secure. It is super convenient. And every $1,000 a month that we can increase through various hundreds of listeners through this program, we are able to basically take one day off the membership drive every year, which is why that we are so, you know, high hot on promoting this monthly deduction. It's the best way to provide stable funding for KBOO. Around 40% of our members contribute via EFT, basically via automatic payments from bank accounts.
877-500-5266. Call that number now. 877-500-5266.
You know, I've got PayPal. Do you have PayPal?
Yeah.
I've got a PayPal debit card. I'll bet you that if you've got PayPal, if you use PayPal for little things every month like Netflix or whatever, you could probably use your PayPal EFT. My PayPal can be used for any sort of EFT thing. I know that Netflix comes off PayPal. If you've got a PayPal account and you're using that for your Netflix or whatever, you can use PayPal for your EFT.
So, yeah, please call now. The news is almost over. We're going on to the next show, which is the Native American. But anyways, it's 877-500-5266 is the phone number to call. 877-500-5266. We need your support. This is run by you. It's through your contributions that we can keep going.
Go on.
The time is 6 p.m. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio, here on KBOO, Portland.
...2015 artist and residence applications are available. The KBOO Community Radio Artist and Resident Program assists artists working creatively with sound. Every year, one artist or one collaborative group of artists will be awarded 20 hours of studio recording and production time with a KBOO mixologist in order to create a piece of sound art that will be publicly presented at the end of the residency. The goals of the program are to support and invest in individuals who are pushing themselves artistically using sound and to bring those artists into the dynamic KBOO community of local, national, international artists and activists. Deadline for applications are February 13th, 2015, 5 p.m.